Second Peter, chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 15. Second Peter, chapter 2, and verse 15. I'm just going to read the first part of it. It says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. All right, this second chapter of Peter is talking about an apostasy that's coming, and it's talking about some false prophets that came in saying things a little different than the apostles did, and people are going to follow them, and we've already seen that happen. Christianity is a big confusion of ideas. Christianity is a whole lot bigger than real Christians. There's all kinds of people who call themselves Christians that have nothing to do at all with what the Bible teaches. And so we understand the fact that this apostasy is widespread and people are very confused. Even Christians are very confused. And these here are some that he mentions, and they have gone the way of Balaam. They have started trying to make money off of Christianity, off of their teachings, and they sell everything that there is to sell in the church. They sell baptism for your babies, and they sell, you know, a marriage. They'll sell, and everything's about the buildings and about the stuff like that. We could have gotten into that, and that would have been interesting. In fact, I have been teaching on it, and I plan on teaching more in Sunday school when it's my turn again. But I'm not wanting to deal with that right now. I want you just to consider the fact that some people knew the right way and they forsook it. Some people knew the right way and they forsook it. So I want to consider four things this morning. Four things. First of all, I want you to consider the will of God. If you want to define the right way, well, it's the way God intended. It's the will of God. You need to consider the will of God. I want you to consider also that it's a moral obligation. You're not just free to choose whatever you want. It's not a matter of preference. It's a matter of accountability. There's a moral obligation. It's a right way and it's a wrong way. Right and wrong. I want you to also consider, number three, your motives. Are the motives of people who forsake the right way? Because it's not confusing. You need to consider why people forsake the right way. And then, of course, fourth, I want you to consider the consequences of choosing wrong. Because they're deep, they're heavy consequences for choosing wrong, and you can't win. All right. He says, these have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. They knew the right way and they went astray. They forsook it. They'd been taught well, had good parents, had good teachers. They didn't like it. They didn't like it. They forsook the right way. So somebody will say, well, you know, things are sort of relative. It's really a matter of preference. Hey, that might be right for you, but it's not right for me. You hear that all the time. Well, what's true for you might not be true for everybody. Well, that's just not the way I was taught to understand the word truth. Truth has to do with something that's true for everybody. I mean, gravity affects everybody, right? If there were people on the other side of the earth that gravity did not affect the same way, we wouldn't call it a law of gravity. We'd say it's confusing. We're not real sure about it. We don't know what it is. Because some people don't weigh the same on the other side of the world. We'd say gravity is not true. You would, I would, we all would. We know. Well, you know what the Bible says? There's a right way and there's a wrong way. I talked to a guy. He was an agnostic. He sort of called himself an atheist. I know what he meant. He's an agnostic. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in that junk. He was smarter than the rest of us. He says, I don't believe in God. I said, well, do you believe in right and wrong? He says, I'm not sure. I said, well, let me give you an example then. Two boys right here in town. I was living in Lyon at the time. I said, two boys wanted a bicycle. One of them decided he would work all summer. And he worked all summer and saved up his money and bought a bicycle. And the other one was lazy. He didn't work. He didn't care. He was lazy. He wanted a bicycle. He just waited till the other boy had bought his bicycle and then he went and stole it. Is that right or wrong? I'm not sure. Really? Well, it depends. Really? He finally said, okay. Okay. You're right. That was wrong. There you go. You did what God intended you to do. You made a judgment. You made a decision. You said, that's wrong. But it can't possibly be wrong unless God exists. Stop and think about it. It is not wrong. It can't even be wrong. You can't even consider right and wrong as a possibility if God doesn't exist, if there is no judgment, if there is no accountability after this life, if there's nothing, nobody to have to face and someday give an account and explain why you did what you did. If there's nothing like that, there's no God, there's nothing, then you can't say that that's wrong. So by your own judgment, you admitted that there is a God. And you know what that fella told me? He said, you're right. You're right. You see, there is a right way. There is a right way. It's not just a preference. It's not just, you know, relative. It's not just how you feel. It's not murky. It's not confusing. I'm going to tell you what the right way is. The right way is whatever God's will is. Sometimes you can discover that just by scientific experiment. You can find out. You can figure all kinds of things out. You can easily determine what is right and wrong. If you start off saying, no, I'm not going to believe any of that junk. We're just going to be, everything's relative and it's all going to just depend and we're not going to commit to any right or wrong, everything else. You might say, I'm not sure there is a God, whatever. And so you're trying to come up with some way of determining how you should act or even whether there is such a thing as an ought to or an obligation to or a responsibility to or whatever. You have no way of knowing. That's where people are today. That's where people are today. They say, well, what is marriage? We could have homosexual marriage, couldn't we? How do you define marriage? And some people who are not immoral at all, they're not homosexual, they're not immoral, but they don't know how to answer. They don't know what marriage is. Let me tell you what marriage is. It's what God intended. This is what God intended. It's something that God set up. I mean, this is just as logical and reasonable and rational. It's not confusing. You know what the right way? Did you know that there's a right way to treat your parents? Amen. Think about it, folks. And if you don't treat them that way, it's wrong. Amen. There's a right way and a wrong. Did you know there's a right way to treat old people? Amen. You guys ever seen some of the examples of, I saw a clip on the news of some kid went into, young man, had his face covered, went into a corner store, and there was an old lady bent over trying to walk up to it, and he took a bat-like thing, I'm not sure what it was, and he hit her. He hit her until she fell down. Right or wrong? That's not difficult, that's wrong! As a matter of fact, it was so wrong, I come up out of my chair. I wanted to go right through the television and get that guy and beat the snot out of him. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? I know what's right and wrong. You do too. This is not difficult. God did not intend for you to beat up old people. The Bible says you rise up for the hoary head. You see somebody come in a room that's older than you, just stand up. Show them some decent honor. Show them some respect. How about how you treat your parents? How about kids? How about you? How you treat your parents? Are you allowed to just talk back? You know, I've seen some of the way these kids talk to their parents. I deal with them all the time, every single day. I see what's happened. I see the arguments going on before. I see the hatred that goes on between them. And it's partly the parents' fault, no doubt. But we know what's wrong. You don't treat your parents that way. Not because they're perfect people. It's because they're your parents. It's just the way the thing is. You say, well, if you look at things from a little different perspective. No, man, this is the only perspective. Amen. It's God's perspective. Amen. It makes things a whole lot simpler when you just look at things from God's perspective. Right way and wrong way. Did you know there's all kinds of wrong ways to use tools? You can use an extension cord to lift something. I know that you can. It just doesn't work as an extension cord after that. Yep. I've used all kinds of tools the wrong way. I've got a tool graveyard. Did you know there's a right way to treat authorities? Did you know there's a right way to treat the government? Did you know that the IRS is not your enemy? That's the truth, folks. The IRS is not the enemy.
Amen.
You got to watch out for all these conspiracy theories and everybody trying to get you to fight the government. Watch out, folks. Some things are wrong. Some things are wrong just because God says so. And listen, if there is any excuse to fight our government, then there's an excuse for everybody in the world to fight every government that has ever existed, because this is just about the best that's ever been. So don't be fighting your government. Stop and think about what God's will is. What is the right? Did you know there's a right way and there's a wrong way to treat your spouse?
Amen.
Yeah, there is. Did you know there's a right way and there's a wrong way to work and to prosper?
Amen.
There's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a right way and a wrong way to raise your kids. You say, well, that's a confusing one. No, it's not. Just read your Bible.
Yep. Amen.
Ask your parents. Ask somebody who has really good kids. You know, God didn't leave you in the dark, folks. God did not leave you in the dark. You got all kinds of people you can ask. There's people here with hoary heads, and they've raised kids really well done. They did a good job. Go ask them. What should I do? What am I doing wrong? You really ought to spend more time listening instead of opining. Maybe stop talking so much.
Amen.
Start listening more.
Amen.
Did you know if you get into the presence of an old person, that old person will not interrupt you? You notice that? If you just jab on, just talk on, blah, 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 gab, 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 you just keep on talking, they won't interrupt you. They're usually very tired. No, they're very respectful. They're usually very respectful. They won't interrupt you. You know how you get an old person to talk? Shut up. Ask him a question. That's just some free advice I'll give you. And let me tell you something. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. And this is all things. It has to do with what God intended. God did not intend marriage to be between two people of the same sex. That's really a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. That's not even difficult. And you can't blame society or blame, you can't blame your parents for sure, because I guarantee your parents were heterosexual.
Amen.
You didn't have bad examples in that way. Now, I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you, truly bless your heart if you've gotten yourself in a bad situation, because this world is confusing. And I'm telling you, they have confused some people, and they've got so much sex saturation all over the world that some people, some kids grow up and they are raped or they are abused as children. They're hurt and they're confused and they're broken. But listen, that doesn't change the fact there's a right way and there's a wrong way. I'm not being judgmental on you. I feel for you. I have some compassion for you, but I can't say that everything's okay. That it's all right. That whatever your excuse is, that's a good one. No! No! There's a right way and there's a wrong way.
Amen.
Did you know there's a right way to be saved and there's a wrong way?
Amen.
You know how you get saved? You get saved by believing in the person.
Amen.
And believing in the provision. And believing in the promise.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how you get saved.
Amen.
But there's all kinds of people out there doing it the wrong way. They think it's about, you know, doing rituals. They get baptized and they go take the Eucharist and they they pray facing Mecca five times a day or something. They think this is the way, but it's the wrong way.
Amen.
And you know how it's the wrong way? You just read what Jesus said.
Amen.
You read what the apostle said. You read the New Testament and you find out the right way.
Amen.
There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And if you don't go to any trouble to find out, that's the wrong way. All right, I'm going to move on to this second point I wanted to make, and that is the fact of a moral obligation. You see, that's what people don't like. They don't like this idea of right and wrong. They don't want to be told their way is the wrong way.
Amen.
I mean, even bosses have to be very careful on how they rebuke their employees. I've heard it said that you have to sandwich. You get a boss and he has to sandwich it. He says, if you want to tell your employee that they're doing something wrong, you first of all say something that they're doing right. And then you say something they're doing wrong, and then you finish out with something that they're doing right. So you don't hurt their feelings. Well, okay, that might be good. I don't know. I just don't like to have to sit through three times as long of an explanation. Just tell me what I'm doing wrong. Never mind. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way or the best way or whatever. What I can tell you is this, that there is a right and wrong, and that it's a moral obligation that you do the right thing. God has given you a moral obligation. You have to do the right thing. That's the definition. It's the right thing. You have to do it. And if you don't do the right thing, you're wrong. You are wrong, wrong, wrong. You get it?
Amen.
That's what the Bible calls, it calls it sin. Amen. It's sin when you go against God's will. Amen. It's sin when you go against God's way. It's sin when you try to go off your own way. It's sin when you have a better idea. It's sin. It's not just a mistake. It's not just less than ideal. It's sin. It's wrong. Ever so often somebody will tell me something somebody else did and I'll say, oh, that's wicked. And they say, oh, well, I wouldn't have gone that far. Well, yeah, it's wicked. There's all kinds of things you do that are wicked. You don't even realize it. They're wicked. It's not just, they're not just, you know, well, less than ideal. They're wicked. You hear somebody say, well, we're all sinners. I'm not perfect. Boy, is that the wrong way to characterize your situation. You're not perfect. That was never part of the argument. That was never part of the conversation. Nobody's talking about perfection. What we're talking about is guilt. What we're talking about is shame. What we're talking about is blame. Let me tell you something. There's a right and a wrong way, and that implies moral obligation. And if you don't fulfill your moral obligations, be ashamed. Be ashamed. There's blame there. There's condemnation there. There's damnation there. That's what it is. It's because there's a right way and there's a wrong way. God says you have to do it the right way. Did you realize that just because God exists, and folks, He does exist.
Amen.
That's a no-brainer right there. He is clearly seen by the things which are made.
Amen.
And people who say they can't, there's not enough evidence, they're just not looking in the right places. Or they don't want to see what they see. They're willingly ignorant of. All kinds of things. You have a moral obligation. If there is a God, you have a moral obligation to do His will. To find His will and to do His will. And if you don't, you will be blamed. I know you don't like that. None of us do, folks. We don't like to be blamed. We don't like that finger wagging. We don't like the shame. We don't want to talk about guilt. Let me tell you something. A whole lot of psychiatrists will try to cure your guilt feelings. The problem is they don't cure your guilt.
Amen.
And they need to cure your guilt. But they can't. They can't cure your guilt. They're only worried about your feelings. And they're going to try to fool you into thinking you have no reason to feel
Amen.
Guilty. But maybe you're feeling guilty for a reason.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Maybe it's because God's put inside you a conscience that tells you you're guilty. You had an obligation
Amen.
To do something you didn't do. You didn't fulfill. Let me tell you something. If you go work for somebody and he says, I'm going to pay you $2 an hour. That's what they used to pay. I don't know what they pay nowadays. I'm pretty sure they pay more than that. But if they contract with you to pay you the minimum wage, whatever it is nowadays, and then you don't work that entire time, you don't give him that much work, you're guilty.
Amen.
You're guilty. If you go shack up with some woman, you don't get married, you're guilty.
Amen.
If you wind up getting pregnant out of wedlock and you kill that baby, you're guilty.
Amen.
You're guilty, folks. It's guilty. It's guilt. It's guilt. It has to do with blame and shame. And you ought to be ashamed. It's because there's a moral obligation just for the fact that God says there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And listen, some of these things are so clear. Some of these things are so clear, it's amazing how anybody can get confused. It's amazing how anybody can be fooled. But people are confused.
Amen.
People are fooled. Amen. They are deceived. And that's why I want you to consider the third thing. I want you to consider the motives. Because you really need to consider your motives. You see, because you might say, well, I'm just not clear on that. I'm not sure the way I'm feeling is wrong. I'm not sure the way I do things is wrong. I'm thinking, you know, maybe my way is just as good as your way. And I'm thinking maybe that if I start from a different beginning point, that I can come to my conclusion and I'll be all right. But you also need to consider the motives. Did you know that the Bible tells you that you have an evil nature?
Yes.
Now, you might not be real sure about that, but you ought to look around. People are evil. Even Jesus said so. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your parents, talking about decent people like us, decent people, and he said, you're evil. This was Jesus speaking. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your parents, how much more your father would give good gifts to you if you asked him? That was his argument. But he said, you're evil. Jesus looked at you and said, you're evil. You know what? God looked down from heaven and he saw that the evil had gone over all the earth. And he said, their imagination of their heart is only evil continually. Only evil continually. It's evil. It's always evil. You're never thinking straight. You're never thinking right. You're always got some angle. You've always got an angle. We resist righteousness by our nature. Did you know that there's something in you that makes you resist the right way?
Amen.
You're just automatically resisting. Be careful that you trust your heart. You ever heard somebody say, trust your heart? Just follow your heart.
Yeah.
You ever heard that? Just follow your heart. Follow your dreams. I've had some really weird dreams. I'm not following them. Don't follow your dreams. Find the right way.
Amen.
And focus on it.
Amen.
Don't follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. Your heart is deceitful. It's deceiving you all the time. Your emotions are deceiving you. Your sensations are deceiving you. Your thoughts are deceiving you. You're constantly deceiving yourself. How is it that you can deceive yourself into thinking you're okay? You're okay when you've done something wrong. And everybody else can say it's wrong. Everybody else can look at you and say that's wrong. But you can deceive yourself because you have a tendency to resist right, to resist the good, to resist what's true and right. It's just a natural in you. Listen, you're not different. You're just like me. You're just like everybody else. We all resist right. We have a tendency. We have even an eagerness to do what we know is wrong. Not just a willingness, an eagerness to do. The Bible says we run after wickedness like a horse runneth impetuously to battle. We also resist clarity. The Bible says that people who are evil resist coming to the light because they don't want their works reproved. And we resist clarity. We prefer confusion. We prefer darkness. We prefer not making things really clear. We don't want to talk over our issues with someone who's thinking clearly. Why? We resist answering questions. Why? Because we want the confusion. Why? Because it leaves us free to do whatever we want because our hearts are deceived. Watch for your motives. Your motives can fool you. Your motives are evil, the Bible says, and it leads you wrong. And if God is telling you, say, well, I have no proof of that. Then just give God a chance. He's trying to explain something to you. Give God the benefit of the doubt. He said your motives are wrong. Your motives are evil. You've been led wrong by your own thoughts and your own mind and your own heart for all these years. Now he's trying to tell you, think clearly just for once. Let yourself be reprimanded. Let yourself be reproved. Let yourself be corrected. Let somebody who loves you tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're not thinking clearly. Answer the questions. Consider the motivations. Have some clarity in your mind. Stop thinking emotionally.
Amen.
That would be good for everybody. Just stop Amen. Thinking emotionally. I know we need emotions and we need compassion and we need to have a tender heart, but stop thinking emotionally for a little bit. And let God give some clarity to what you do and how you do things and how you make decisions and what your decision in life is and whether or not you're going to serve God or whether or not you're going to follow God, whether or not you're going to do something the right way. Why don't you not think selfishly when it comes to how you treat your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Hello. Don't think selfishly when it comes to whether or not you're going to have sex with your girlfriend before you even commit to her in marriage. Oh, yeah. Why don't you think about that? Why don't you think clearly before you take drugs?
Amen.
Stop and think it over. Stop and think it over. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody shoot themselves up with something that they know is going to ruin their life? And they know it. They know it. There is not any child so stupid that he doesn't know shooting himself up with drugs is not smart. We also resist not just clarity, and we do. We resist the light, man. It's like we're like cockroaches, man. Turn on the light and we scatter. We don't like the light. We resist clarity. We don't want no preacher talking real clear. We don't want no Sunday school teacher making things really, really precise and clear. What's wrong? What's right? What's good? What's evil? What is truth? What is falseness? And what's a lie? Boy, they don't like being called lies. They don't like being called liars. They don't like being called false or wrong. Well, we resist clarity just in our natures. You got to watch out for this resistance to clarity. And we also resist commitment. We don't want to be pinned down. We want some loopholes. We want a back door. We don't want commitment. Have you ever thought about that? The first time you hear the right thing, you say, this is the right thing. Have you noticed how difficult it is to commit to it? Step right out and say, you know what? People have a hard time committing to the gospel even after they hear it and they believe it. They don't want to commit. You know why they don't want to commit? They want a little wiggle room. They want wiggle room. They don't just want plausible deniability. They want wiggle room. They want to be able to get out. They don't want to commit. They don't want to make any decisive decision about their life. Why? Because we resist commitment. We want room to do whatever we want to do. Our minds are constantly working to find a way to do what we want to do, what we like. Consider your motives. Now, one more thing I want to consider. I want you to consider the consequences of your choices. You see, because if you resist the right way, if you forsake the right way, you choose the wrong way, there are going to be consequences. And I want you to know something. You can't fight God and win. You're going to lose. God is right, and He's always been right. He's been right every single time. I mean, He's just never plain been wrong. Just never been wrong. I mean, He tells you what marriage is about. That's the way you got to do it. And you say, well, you know, but I feel like, you know, that we're, I mean, come on. This is the 21st century. We're getting past all that old-fashioned stuff. No. God's telling you this is right and wrong. We're not talking about preference. We're not talking about some things that can be done a little bit different. No, we're talking about right and wrong. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And if you choose the wrong way and you resist or reject the right way, there will be consequences. Yeah. You will lose. It's not meaningless. Did you know the decisions you make in your life are not meaningless? And let me tell you something else, you young folks. The decisions you make at this young age will not be meaningless. They're the most important decisions you're going to make all your life. You get my age and your decisions begin to mean less and less and less and less. You can hardly affect anyone anymore. Affect your wife a little bit, maybe. But boy, when you're young, you make decisions that are going to affect you the rest of your life. Girl, you decide to sleep with that boy? That's a decision you made. It's going to have some consequences. Boy, you decide to sleep with that girl? It's going to have some consequences. I know people who have got it and it bit them. They did it and they thought it would be okay, whatever. No, sir, it's changed their life forever. Now they're in trouble. And they're going to be in trouble forever. In fact, I deal with cases all the time in my line of work. I deal with cases all the time where people made a one bad, bad, bad decision and it has destroyed them. It has hurt them bad. Let me tell you something. You choose the wrong way, it's going to make a difference in your life. You go the wrong way, you choose the wrong path, you decide to disagree with God. And if you don't like that way of putting it, you say, well, no, I don't know that I'm disagreeing with God. You decide to disagree with the Bible. How about that? You decide to disagree with the Bible. It's going to hurt you. It's going to cost you. You will not be happy about that decision someday. Someday you're going to say, I shouldn't have done that. You know, the Bible talks about the law of the harvest. Whatsoever we shall reap, that shall we, oh, whatsoever we reap, whatsoever we sow, that shall we also reap. You heard that right? Whatsoever you sow, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Holy Spirit eternal life and all the good consequences. Oh my, what you sow, you're going to reap. But you don't reap right away. You never reap right away. Have you ever noticed when you plant something? I've done some planting, but you plant something, you get a little impatient, you go out the next day and go out the day after. Ain't nothing there. Oh man, day after that, every single day, until finally you forget. The next time you go out there, it's a big old plant. It's not right away. You don't reap right away. And let me tell you something else. You don't reap the same amount that you sow. You always reap more. You ever thought, wouldn't that be dumb to plant something if you're just going to receive the same thing back? You plant one seed, you water it, you fertilize it, you watch it, you take care of it, you spray it for bugs, you do all that stuff, finally comes out, the kernel, you get one seed back. Well, who would plant their seed if that's what happened? You don't do that, it's perfectly logical. You plant a seed, you're expecting to get hundreds back. You sow the wrong thing, you choose the wrong way, you're going to get a whole lot more of it back than you sowed. It's going to come back in droves. It's going to hurt you a whole lot worse than you hurt anybody else. You say, well, I did something. It didn't hurt much. It hurt my parents a little bit. It's going to hurt you a whole lot more than it hurt anybody else. You see, because you cannot fight God and win. I'm going to go a little bit clearer for you. You cannot resist the Bible and win. The Bible's right. It's going to prove itself eventually. What it says is right. It says Jesus is coming back. It'll happen. It says God created us. It did. That's what happened. They're going to find all the evidence in the rocks. They're going to find it all. They're finding it right now all the time. They just can't see it. It's sticking out like the nose on their face and they can't see it. It's there. You can see it. But they can't see it. But sooner or later, they're going to have to see it. There's not going to be any doubt about it. It's going to be clear. Why? Because that's what happened. It's the truth. This is what's going to happen. This is what happens. And when the Bible tells you your way is wrong and you choose to ignore that way, you're going to lose. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. People have done this all through history. They have decided, you know, the Bible, we don't believe the Bible. We don't like the Bible. The Bible's irritating. They did not consider their own motives. They did not consider the lies that are in their own heart. They didn't consider their own desire for freedoms and their own desire for licentiousness. They didn't consider all this other stuff. They decided to go against the Bible. And so they come up with other ways to make a government. They make a godless communist government. Look at what they've done! They've destroyed people. When old Mao Zedong took over China, they said they had to kill over 25 million of their own people right away because they didn't like that government. 25 million people! And I've heard conservative estimates that they actually killed over 40 million people in that first wave of getting rid of the dissent. And then they decided to reform agriculture. And so they took away all these big farms and things like that with all their stuff and they just passed out the land to poor people. And the famine that happened in the next 5 years killed 70 million people, which they would not allow on the news. That's 110 million people died because somebody didn't like God's way. We don't believe in God. We think religion is the opium of the people. We don't believe in doing things God's way. 110 million people. Dead, starving, and how many people in prison, and how many people suffering, even to this day suffering. Why? They didn't like God's way. They don't like that old Bible way. They don't like that. It's too restrictive. It's too restrictive. It's too limiting. It's too narrow-minded. It's too old-fashioned. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. I got news for you. You cannot disregard God's way and come out ahead. You can't do it. You're going to lose. It's not about somebody imposing on you. I believe in freedom. I don't want to coerce anybody. I'm just warning you. I'm telling you, the things that have confused you about God's way, don't let them confuse you. Don't be confused by this thing. God knows what's right. And sometimes you have to go against your own heart. Sometimes you got to go against your own friends. Sometimes you got to go against what you desire more than anything else. Sometimes you got to swallow your pride. You got to say, God's way is right. You know it. You know what God's way is. It's the Bible way. You know what he said. You've had somebody show you the truth. Don't forsake the right way. Let's pray.